You're listening to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman. Barbecue is just as good a reason as any to return home. Ryan Mitchell is the prodigal son in this story. After pursuing higher education and a career in finance, he found his way back to North Carolina, led by the wafting smoke coming from his father Ed's whole hog barbecue pit. United by faith and an uncompromising work ethic, they've built a multi-generational legacy. Ryan joins us to discuss Ed Mitchell's barbecue. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Great. So perhaps you can start by sharing a bit about your father's story. He got a late start coming to the pit when he was just 45 years old. Can you share the circumstances of how he came to barbecue and how it changed his life?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, our family legacy in barbecue goes back about 150 years. So my great-grandfather, you know, he fathered 35 children. And from that 35, you know, my grandmother was the last of the bunch. And those experiences from working from, you know, honestly, sharecropping life and plantation life and working around tobacco farms, tobacco fields and hog fields, we learned how to cook barbecue. Our family learned how to cook barbecue amongst some of the best of our ancestors that you can, you know, quite possibly imagine. My dad grew up in that environment to where, you know, cooking outside and learning how to man the pits, you know, was just kind of a way of life in our city. Fast forward to college, my dad is also a Vietnam vet. He got called into the Vietnam War and then was able to come back and finish school. And once he finished college, you know, he took his time also around the country, trying to find jobs and just kind of, you know, trying to find his place in life with figuring out whether or not the South was going to be, you know, ready for, you know, educated, you know, Black man in that fashion for the things that he wanted to do with his life. Then my grandfather got sick and, you know, he also decided to kind of move back home, you know, to help my grandmother take care of my grandfather and my other two younger uncles. So here he was also back in the town that he grew up in, you know, just trying to find his way. And once my grandfather passed, you know, we kind of stumbled into the barbecue business, honestly, from a place of pain and therapy, to be quite honest with you, because my grandmother's method of coping is just hospitality and cooking and feeding people. And so we kind of got into the barbecue business and really just tapped into some traditions and kind of a legacy that our family had always, you know, been known for, but just not commercially.
Let's talk about the food. Can you explain the difference in flavor between whole hog barbecue and simply cooking parts of the animal?
For sure. Well, first and foremost, you know, each piece of the hog has a different flavor profile. So the ham is going to have a little bit, a lot different flavor tasting than the shoulder, the tenderloin, you know, and some of the belly parts, the pork belly, which is where the bacon comes from, the loin area, pork chops. You know, each area of the hog has a unique flavor that gives whole hog barbecue its unique position in the barbecue world. Cooking pieces of it, you know, you can make some very good barbecue with just cooking Boston butts or shoulders. You know, a lot of people still, you know, do that who don't want to tackle on the whole hog. But when you blend the entire cooked, smoked animal together after cooking it, I mean, it's a whole different type of flavor.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that it requires a whole other level of expertise, not only to cook it, but also the way it all gets mixed up and finally served. What makes Eastern North Carolina barbecue special?
Well, for us, you know, aside from the whole hog, we also, you know, we are akin to a vinegar-based chopped whole hog barbecue. And so vinegar and crushed red pepper are our two, you know, main condiment or ingredient seasoning choices when we make the hog. So, you know, it takes people a little bit, you know, it takes some time to kind of get used to the taste of vinegar on their food in that way. But the uniqueness of apple cider vinegar and the smoked flavors of the pork, man, it's just, it sets us apart.
Yeah, and whole hog is so rich that the vinegar is just so complimentary.
Very much, very much. You know, vinegar started out as a multi-purpose use as it relates to the whole hog. It's also, it's a preservative. It also allowed the meat to tenderize when it's poured on the hot animal as we start to chop it and season it. So, you know, the apple cider vinegar is really kind of the key to making really, really good chopped whole hog barbecue.
Your dad is quoted in the book as saying, in our culture, you were considered a loser if you were making barbecue. Can you talk a bit about that and then how his life kind of took a different turn when John T. Edge of Southern Foodways Alliance approached him? How much has changed in the past 25 years?
The missing context around, you know, cooking barbecue and specifically in the southern parts of the United States of America is that, you know, these skills and these jobs, you know, were mastered on the plantation. And they had their transition from the plantation, from the farm, and then on to barbecue establishments and or restaurants that, quite honestly, Black people were still not allowed to even sit in and eat, you know, through the 1960s. And so the craft was something that we always cherished, you know, but the job itself, once it turned into a position of work and labor, well, then it was pretty much, you know, all that you were assigned to be able to do, you know, living in the South, you know, as a young Black man, not just cooking barbecue, but any of those jobs that were categorized as menial jobs, you know, cooking in the back of restaurants, service, farm work, factory work, you know, all of these things were pieces of our culture that if you wanted to be considered educated, you had to move away from and escape, you know, and kind of get to areas of the country that were offering better opportunities for Black people. And so there's this therapy that has to happen, you know, once you decide to remain in the South and still take on some of these jobs and these duties that were thought to be less than. And so barbecue or cooking in general was one of those things. Even though we decided to open a business and really kind of make a go at it, that was still one of the things that we had to, you know, re-engineer mentally, you know, not just for us, but for our staff and for the people that we hired, you know, to get them to reignite a sense of pride in service, a sense of pride in learning how to cook barbecue and hospitality in general, you know, because it wasn't fun times, you know, in the very beginning stages of any of those jobs. So John T. and Southern Foodway comes along and they are really the first ones to acknowledge and give credence to the work that the African-American sharecropper and or slave per se was putting in the plantation areas in the South with cooking barbecue. And so the transition of being called a pit boy in its origin began to shift towards being relabeled by my father as a pit master.
There are only a handful of Black entrepreneurs barbecuing whole hog these days. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that it is a lot of, it is a very labor-intense skill and project to kind of master, or not just to master, but to create a business model around. You don't have the same labor force that you had, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago to where you can kind of build an establishment and kind of have a solid core group of employees and, you know, who are willing to kind of take on that kind of gruesome, I don't say gruesome, but that kind of heavy lifting, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And so I really just think it has a lot to do with, you know, just trying to be much more efficient at running a business. And if you can get the customer to kind of co-appreciate, you know, your taste of pork shoulders and smaller cuts of the animal, you know, and get them to kind of be okay with calling that barbecue and still, you know, have a solid customer base, then you can kind of get away with doing it. But the heavy lifting and the labor, you have to have a solid business plan in place for your staff to kind of keep staying in business with that method.
Does the Mitchell family celebrate Juneteenth? And if so, what kind of preparations do you make?
Yeah, we've gotten into Juneteenth here for the past couple of years now. So usually we were, you know, preparing to do someone else's caterings and all types of things. So we've been fortunate enough now to kind of have our own family celebrations. So, you know, to be quite honest, it resembles a traditional family cookouts that we always used to have. We just kind of now have a name for it, you know, other than barbecue. You know, one of the things that we've been incorporating for the past couple of years is learning different vegetables and side sources that could kind of go on the grill. We've, you know, had some of our friends who are from other countries like Brazil or in certain parts of Africa who celebrate, you know, the heritage of Juneteenth as well. So they've been incorporating, giving us a little bit more knowledge of things that we can put on the smoker and grill that are not all meat-based.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So Ryan, it was your grandmother's request for barbecue that turned your family in this direction. Could you share 91-year-old Mama Mitchell's oddball carrot cake recipe with us?
I'll give you the quick story on why it's called the oddball carrot cake. Obviously, my grandmother was a matriarch there in our hometown, but at our church, she was, you know, the go-to lady for the desserts. And so the way in which she separated her carrot cake was by using yellow icing. And so that's how all the, you know, important clergy members knew which one she made. And so they would go make a beeline right to the dessert line and look for Mother Mitchell's yellow carrot cake, you know, because that's, you know, that was the dead giveaway of the one that she made.
I love that. Well, it's been such a pleasure having this conversation with you, Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time for us.
No problem. Thank you.
That is Ryan Mitchell. Together with his father, Ed, they operate the family business in North Carolina, which includes their upcoming restaurant, The Preserve, in Raleigh. Their book is Ed Mitchell's Barbecue. Head to kcrw.com/goodfood for a recipe for Ed's mouthwatering baby back ribs. The Market Report is on deck, so stay with us, folks.